Why, hello there, and welcome.
You're listening to the Creepy Crap Podcast. It's quick, simple, and Australian. Now, if you want to follow along on the socials, you can get the show on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and Discord, all at one word at the Creepy Crap Podcast. Or we could share film histories on Letterboxd at the Creepy Crap Pod. And if you enjoy the podcast today, why not show some love with a 5-star review on whatever app you listen to this with? Alright, now let's start one of Australia's favourite horror podcasts, the Creepy Crap Podcast. And be warned that this episode will most likely contain swearing, spoilers, and adult themes. Welcome, Creepy Crapsters, to a very special episode of the Creepy Crap Podcast. That's right, it's episode 15, and I'm talking about a movie I'm very excited about covering finally. That's right, the movie is Beaten to Death. It is from 2022, and it is from one of my favorite directors in the whole world, Sam Curtin. That's right, it's his third movie. He directed it. He also wrote it with Benjamin Young Clark, who I've had on the podcast already, episode 33. That's when I've had him on. He's also been on prior to that when we talked about Blood Hunt back in the first year of the podcast. Oh my god, he's so good. I love talking about his movies. But yeah, this is his third movie, and it stars Jack, which is Thomas Roach, Ned, which is played by David Tracy, Ricky, which is Justin Wagner, Rachel, which is Nicole Tudor, and also a special mention for the makeup in this movie. It is crazy. For the low budget this movie has, it looks amazing. It is stunning visually. It is like a feat of camera magnificence. But yeah, the makeup is from Denica Adult, which is amazing. It's so good. Everything about this movie looks great. It's gritty, it's brutal, it's bloody, it's snotty, it's disgusting. It is fantastic, and that is the movie we'll be talking about. And be warned, it will contain spoilers and lots of biased opinions, because there's very little I can say about this movie that I don't like. So it's going to be a bit of a suck-off fest, but that's what it is. If you have a movie and a director you love, you don't care if it's shit or bad or whatever else, which this isn't, just to be clear. Everything he does is amazing. I can't wait for his next 500 movies. I'm sure they're all gonna only get better and better and better and bigger budgets, and Hollywood's gonna pick him up. Every other country in the world's gonna pick him up, and he's just gonna be super famous, and yeah, it's gonna be crazy. And oh my god, I can't wait to see what the future holds for Sam Curtin. But anyway, let's go back to the present, because we're talking about Beaten to Death. So here we go. You want the synopsis before it starts? Fair call, I'll give it to you right now. A desperate choice leads Jack down a path that leaves him beaten and bruised as he struggles against man, nature, and his own insanity. That's the synopsis. Just before I start the movie, I better say thank you to Thomas Pitts and the crew at Holdfast Public Relations for sending me this movie. He sent me the screener. I also saw the screener through Sam Curtin himself, and I also own the DVD, so it is available everywhere. Umbrella Entertainment has picked it up in Australia. That is amazing. In the States, it was picked up by Welcome Villain. How good is that? It's a movie that is getting a lot of attention. It is amazing. I can't wait to see what happens with his next movies. And that's enough talking about that, but I just thought I'd mention those guys. Thank you very much. Check it out. Get the movie if you can. I got it from JB Hi-Fi. That's a pretty good indicator that it's a pretty good movie if you can buy it from a pretty huge shop. So yeah, you can get it on video demand, or you can get it on physical media at most DVD stores. So now I've told you where you can get it, let's get into the film. So Beaten to Death starts off. We see Thomas Roach, which is Jack. He's walking through the Tasmanian bushland, and he has a blindfold on, and he's just like, looks lost as hell. He's all bloody. It's what has happened to this man? And then it cuts to a scene, and he's just getting beaten up by one of the biggest guys ever. He looks like a big biker. This is Ricky. This is Justin Wagner. And he's just beating the shit out of Jack, like completely destroying him. We see a girl to the side who looks kind of dead, but we haven't really seen her too much at this point. And he's just laying into him. He's destroying him. I was like, what is happening here? We don't know why he's getting beaten up. And then he's going into a story about these headshots. And he's like, in the army, in basic training, we used to have people like you. We call them headshots. They thought it was a compliment, but it wasn't. If they lasted, they were going to be the perfect soldier. But they usually don't. They usually go home and run to their mummies and cry. But you won't be getting that, will you, headshot? Or you're not going anywhere. I'm gonna bloody kill you. You ain't going nowhere. And you're like, oh shit, what has this guy done? Why does this guy hate him so much? Jack manages to grab a bottle, smash it, and then shoves it right deep in Ricky's neck. And Ricky's just bleeding out. And like I said, the makeup in this is crazy. There's no CGI that I can tell whatsoever in this film. It just looks like very practical effects. And he's just bleeding and spitting out blood. And it's all over his thick beard. And he's just, God, fuck. And he just gets down and then he is dead. And you're like, oh my God, he somehow won that. He was definitely about to die. He's going to get choked out for sure. And then Jack crawls over to the girl and then she is well dead. And then he just runs out of the house because he's trying to look for some help. He tried to get in the car, but they couldn't find the keys. It wouldn't start and all this. He's like, oh God. So he's running off and then he just keeps running and running. And the thing about this movie, you realize pretty quick at first, because you're like, wait, he was blind at one point. He's got bandana over his eyes and now he can see and all that. This is not a linear movie, if that's the right way you say. It's not in chronological order. You realize pretty quick that you're getting little snippets of stuff and then it goes back or goes forward or whatever else. And you're in present time and then it's back to the past, which is a great story style where it's like you get to find out bits as it goes. I'm not a huge fan of it because I love knowing shit straight away. I'd rather see something happen at the beginning and then go back and then be like, okay, now how did that happen instead? But no, it is good. I'm just very impatient when I want to like, what is happening? Why is this happening? Why is this? And it's like, wait and see, you still got 90 minutes left. You're like, yeah, good point, good point. But yeah, he is running away. He is covered in so much blood. Like Thomas Roach in this film has gone out of his way. Like I talked about it with Sam Curtin as well in the episode 33. It's just that the level of commitment he's given to this movie is crazy. There's not a single scene almost that he isn't snotty or bloody or he can't see at all. And you're just like, oh my God, like the amount of dirt and shit he has on him in this movie, it's crazy. This guy goes beyond the call. He should have won an award or something for that. Like just for effort at least. But yeah, he's running for ages and then he finally comes to another house. He sees a dog for a bit and he's like, oh good. And we see this big burly guy. Both of these guys are pretty big. But then this is David Tracy. He's Ned. And he's kind of like, what the fuck are you doing on my property? And he goes, I need help. And he goes, fuck, man. He's like, I need help. I've killed someone. He's like, let me guess. You've crashed into a room and you fucking totaled the car and everyone's fucking dead, right? He goes, no, there's a guy after him. He goes, what have you done? He goes, no, no, he's dead. He's like, what? No, all right. And he goes in and he goes, at least come in and say hi to me mum. It's like, he's kind of like this big tough guy, but he also has this nice side, I think. And he takes him in the house. You see this mum, she's sitting there with like the grossest like fucking oxygen mask. So dirty and grimy, just like, oh God, she's gonna die from just breathing that in general. It's not really a storyline or anything, the fact that the mum's there. He's just like, all right, come on, let's go. And he's like, help yourself to a bloody drink. And it's just dirty water. And you're just like, oh, this place is a little shack. It just looks old and shitty and not much power or water running through it or anything. But yeah, he gets him in the car and he's like, you like country music? You know, Lee Kurtigan, John Williamson, you know, Slim Dusty. And he's barely talking because he's just crying. And like, Jack is just destroyed. He's like, oh my God, the girlfriend is dead. And he's just like, oh, oh. And he's going back. And he's like, all right, mate, calm down. And he gets to the house and he's like, all right. And he walks inside. And then Jack's sitting in the car for ages and he's just sort of crying. He's just permanently snotty. And then he finally walks in the house. And then you see Ned is holding Ricky's body and he's crying. And you're like, oh shit. No wonder they lived close. They're fucking brothers. And he's just like, oh fuck. And you can see Ned's just like, oh fuck, I'll kill him. I'll fucking kill him. And you're like, oh shit, get the fuck out of there, Jack. And he's like, oh shit, because he's about to come in and kind of, hey, well, this is, oh Jesus. And he's just like, fuck. And he's running and running and he's just running through these paddocks. And then you see the car coming after him. You're like, oh no. And then he falls into like a bog or something like that. He's deep in the mud and nothing at any point goes right for Jack in this movie. It's bad. Like, you're rooting for him to fucking live, but like, he's not a good guy either, which we realize. Like, no one in this is really kind of innocent or good or anything like that. But like, you are rooting for Jack to survive and fight. But yeah, he gets stuck in the mud. And then he's basically like, you're fucking dead. That was my fucking brother. And then the next scene, it cuts back. He's in the house again, right near him. And he's just like, oh no. And he's tied to a chair. And Ned is so pissed off. He's huge. This guy is fucking massive. And for someone who's like their first time acting, I'm pretty sure I found out like he was a school teacher in the area. And he was just asked, like, you know, Sam Curtin's like, do you want to be in this? He's like, yep. He's done a pretty good performance. It's crazy. But yeah, he's basically like, you fucking killed my brother. I know he's a bit rough around the edges, but he was sweet. He's never going to smile again. And he's so angry, as he would be. He's like, you fucking brought me here and you fucking killed my brother. What the fuck? I'm not letting this go. He's like, oh no. And Jack's just like, fuck, this is just getting worse and worse. And it does, because he basically grabs like a blade at one point and just pokes out his eye. He's like, you know what? I want the last thing you fucking see to be my fucking ugly face. and then stabs it through his eye, and you kind of get like this visual of like it piercing the eye, and you're just like, oh my god. And then it's completely black, and then you just hear this nailing, and you're just like, what is happening? Because we don't see it happen at all. And then we see him, and he's literally being nailed to the wall like Jesus. Oh fuck. And he's just like unconscious, and you're just like, oh my god, Jack has to be the unluckiest person in the world. And it's just horrible. It's so bloody. And he's like, fuck, man, this guy is putting so much effort into this role. And Ned is pissed. I don't know 100% what Ned's going to do, but it can't be good. I mean, he's already taken his eyes and nailed him to the wall. Like, whatever was planned was not good. But then because he's just unconscious, he's just kind of fallen off the nails and his hands are just falling through it. He's on the floor and he's just like, oh, fuck. And Jack just gets up and he just sort of finds his way to the door and runs off, running to his wherever the fuck. He has no idea where he's running to. But Ned is already standing there with a shovel just watching him. And he's like, all right, cool. And he's just tracking him down over time. He's letting him run off a little bit. I think he's just toying with him at this point, letting him sort of like feel that he's escaped and he's safe. He's like, oh, if I can get away, I'll be safe. And he's running and running. And then he finally grabs him again. And he's like, you're fucked. Because he has a gun almost at one point, but he just doesn't get to shoot it in the right direction. And nothing's going right for him. And he kind of wants to kill himself as well, but he just won't do it. He's like, no, no. I was like, why are you holding off? Like, nothing's going to get better for you, man. He ends up getting grabbed again by Ned. And then Ned makes him dig this huge hole, which is crazy. I mean, like, he's got holes in his hands. Like, the fact that he's still doing it, just kill me now. I never got this with movies. Like, not to say this movie's stupid for doing it. It's just like in any movie where they make them dig their grave, you're going to kill me anyway. Do it yourself. It's so weird. It's such a weird threat when you think about it. Do this or I'll kill you. And you're like, you're gonna kill me anyway. Just kill me now so I can live if I don't dig it. It feels like the theory of the digging the grave, like, only lets you live if you don't do it. But I don't know. I always thought about that. It seems like an odd thing to make someone do. I'd just be like, no, just do it. But anyway, he does dig the grave. He doesn't fight it like I would or pretend to fight it like I would. I'd probably fucking do anything if someone had a gun against my face. But anyway, he's digging it. And he's like, please, mate, please. And he can't see shit anyway. It's not like he knows where he is. And he's like, just drive me down a couple hours down the road, throw me out. I won't know where you are anyway. I'm not going to do anything. You're safe. And then he's just standing there talking. And then the fucking girlfriend is thrown on him. And he's like, oh, shit. And he falls down. And then Ned just buries him. And you're like, oh, my God, that's the end of the movie. Or is it? And we see a few flashbacks, and they're at a pub earlier, and you kind of see, like, she was a singer or something like that, and then they must have met. It doesn't go too deep into how they met, but it's, like, assume that he was at the pub with his mates, sees her singing, and then they start dating or whatever. And then it kind of, like, leads back to another flashback at one point, and it shows that, I don't know, they must be tied on money or something's wrong with the money. It doesn't explain 100%. All right, mate, if we could do this, it's a bit of a risk, but it'd be worth it. We'll get ourselves out there. I know we're just getting, like, week by week, but this will get us to the next level. This will take us out. This will give us a new life. And he doesn't really understand what it is because you find to feel like maybe he's taking an investment or something. But it turns out it is drugs. He is going to make a new career as being a drug dealer. So this is where Jack isn't like such a good guy, and his girlfriend kind of fights it, but she's kind of like, whatever. It's like, don't spend too much. Don't spend all your money on drugs, kid. But yeah, they go as a couple, and then we meet Ricky again, which is the guy at the beginning, and then he's kind of on the property. He's like, what are you doing here? And he's kind of like, you know, I'm not just telling you I'm a drug dealer straight away because I don't know who the fuck you are. And they're like, fair enough. He gives them the phone. So there's no way he can call or do anything anyway at this point. But yeah, he goes and takes them away, makes them wear hoods, goes to this like secret drug house, which is probably still on the property, to be fair. There's a lot of little sort of sheds and shit. Makes him look at all these drugs and he's like, all right, cool. Here we go. How much are you interested in? He goes, oh, about 10 grand. He's like, 10 grand? Are you fucking kidding me? What you're holding is 250 right there. And he's like, 20? He's like, you're fucking taking a piss. I've shown you what I fucking got. How do I know you're not gonna fucking wrap me out now? He's like, it's all I've got. And you feel like that's not even enough for a little bit. It's like, you fucking city cunts, you fucking come here. And he's so angry because you've wasted my time. I've just shown you all my fucking drugs and where they are and all this shit. And now you want to just leave. We'll take the 20 grand off him. I don't understand why he gets so angry. I don't know what drug exactly they were trying to buy, but surely 20,000 is going to buy you a fair bit of drugs. Like, I don't know why he gets so angry. Like, there's 20,000 you didn't have prior to them showing up. They're fighting. And during this fight, he pushes Rachel, the girl, into the wall. She smashes her head. She's pretty much instantly dead. She doesn't see a part where she's shaking on the ground or anything. She just hits her head and she is dead. She's Gonski's, and he's like, look what you fucking made me do. And that's when it goes back to the scene earlier at the beginning where you see him just punching into him. You're like, oh, that's why he was so angry. The drugs, the drugs. And yeah, you're just like, oh, okay. So we kind of work out that Jack was going to sell drugs with Rachel, I guess. I'm not 100% sure if they were going to do it as a couple or not, or just him, but he needed her money perhaps. Whatever the case was, yeah, he's gone to Ricky, needed the drugs, it backfired, she died, and he was about to get killed. He's like, I'm not letting you guys leave. And he's like, fuck, shit. And then he ends up dying anyway. So the one person he was looking for help for actually turns out to be Ricky's brother, and Ned is pissed, and yeah, things aren't going well at all. But Ned's moved on now because it goes back to the present, and he is in the ground, and he is dead. Or so we think, because he jumps out of the ground, he's dug himself back up, he somehow miraculously managed to live, and he's basically like, oh, fuck, and he's so dirty. His face is caked in so much dirt, and you're like, fuck, man, at not one point does he ever wash his face. I'm like, oh my god, I get one fucking hair on my face, and I'm like, oh, get it off, get it off. His commitment to this role is mental. Thomas Roach seriously deserves some sort of award for this. He starts wandering through the bushland, it's getting dark, he sort of passes out, I think, at one point. He wakes back up, and then he fucking just keeps ending up on this property. And he shows back up and he can hear running water, and it's Ned's house again. I'm like, oh my god. Jack is like a homing pigeon to this property. So he's back there again. Ned's having a shower. He walks in. The mum in the wheelchair is just sitting there breathing all that dirty air from the shit mask. She doesn't say anything at all. She's literally just sitting there all day. She's just forgotten later on. But yeah, he walks in there. He manages to find a fucking knife out of all this. It's like so brave, because it meant like he's not 100% sure. I think only that there's a dog barking that he would think it's actually the same house, because otherwise he could be at anyone's house at this point. But he hears the shower, he grabs a big knife, a big fucking knife, let me tell you, and then he runs up, grabs the shower curtain, just stabs it a bunch of times, and Ned is in the shower, and Ned is dead, and he is completely bloody, and he's just lying there. He's like, oh my god. And then Jack sort of falls to the ground, he's exhausted, and then I think he sort of spends the night there, and he wakes back up, and then he's just, all right, shit, I gotta keep going now. He lets the dog free. And then he just leaves the sick mum there. He's got nothing to do with her. I thought he might have like killed her off or done something, but she's just gonna die off, I guess. But yeah, he starts running through the bushland again. He runs and runs. It's for days and that. He goes to sort of kill himself again, but he doesn't. And he just keeps going. And he's like, Mom, Dad, I'm sorry. And all this sort of stuff. He's so remorseful. And he's just like, my life is fucked. And he keeps running. And he finally sees a gate. He's like, yes. Road, yes. And he starts running along the road, and then he hears a car, and he's just like, yes. And the guy puts him in the car, and then he's just like exhausted. And then it shows him at the hospital, and you're like, yes, oh good, finally. And he's there and he's getting all this help, and he sort of like dies at one point, and they bring him back to life. And then he's sitting there and he's got bandages on his eyes, and he's like, oh good, he finally made it. Oh, finally a happy ending, finally some relief for poor old Jack. Or was it? Because he wakes up, realizes that was all a dream because Rachel and his parents and all this stuff were there, and they weren't really there because it was a dream. And then he realizes he's in a car, and then we see the car from another angle because it's a ute, it's got a tray on the back. And in the back, we see two bodies, and guess who those bodies are? That's right, it's Ned and Ricky. The two brothers have been picked up by someone. And guess who that person is? Yes, it's their fucking dad. The dad that's made them the huge brutes that they are is in the car with the person who killed them. He's gone to their house, found both their bodies, and then like pieced it together that he was the one who fucking did it. And then he basically gets out of the car and he's like, Mom, Dad, I'm free. And Jack is just walking towards this fucking doorway. And then the dad comes up, grabs a huge machete, and just stabs it into Jack's stomach, lifts it up, completely kills him. He falls on the ground, his guts are everywhere. And that is the end of the movie. You're like, oh my god, this has to be the most brutal, grimmest movie in the world. Every time this movie gives you a glimmer of hope for Jack, it is eclipsed by pure darkness. Anytime something looks like it's gonna go good for Jack, it is put in reverse. It's double down on how bad whatever you thought was going to happen. You think he's going to break free. He ends up going to the brother of the person he fucking just killed. And then he finally escapes, gets picked up again, and it's by the fucking dad of the two, who's double angry because both his sons are killed. Nothing goes good for Jack in this entire movie. one fucking choice, he's like, I made one fucking mistake, man, I'm sorry. It's like he's done this to try and make some money. He's just like, okay, yeah, I get it, drugs are bad and all this sort of shit, but he's taking this stupid risk in the first place. He's gone to this place out of nowhere because whoever fucking friends suggested it should be fucking shot himself. Hey, thanks for the cool suggestion. You got both of us killed because of it. But yeah, he goes here, tries to sell drugs, it backfires. He ends up killing two fucking people and then gets brutally murdered himself, as well as his eyes taken out and everything else. His girlfriend's dead. Nothing goes good for him. He is killed. He's going to be buried and his family will never know where the fuck he's gone. And that was the movie. That is Beaten to Death. That is Sam Curtin's movie, Beaten to Death from 2022. It's one of the grimmest, darkest movies you're probably going to see all year. Every time you think there's a glimmer of potential, it is taken away. And that is like most movies have like someone survive or whatever like that. It's like the dad survives. Who gives a shit? No one cared. No one even knew who he was. He just killed off everyone. He was like, well, you killed my sons. It's even. On his side, it's kind of like, yeah, that's justified. But yeah, nothing good is for Jack. For like the whole movie's about Jack. You think something's going to happen. But I do like the refreshing take on movies now where some people who you think's going to survive at the end just gets killed off. You're like, oh shit. Like, you don't expect him to die at this point. You think, oh, okay, he's saved. Oh no, mislead. Oh, another mislead. Every time something looks like it's going to go well, it backfires. And that is Beaten to Death. That was the movie that Sam Curtin directed. It is amazing. Check it out. That was episode 15 of the Creepy Crap Podcast. Check out the movie. It's brought to you in Australia by Umbrella Entertainment or Welcome Villain in America. It's a great movie and I hope it gets a lot more accolades than it has so far. And yeah, I feel like it's a movie the more people start seeing, the more they start talking about. Check it out. That was episode 15 of the Creepy Crap Podcast. My name's Danny Boy. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll catch you on the next episode.